From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Happy hump day to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes, and it is such a great honor to have you with us today. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain, and we've got a lot of ground to cover today. By the way, our good friend Scott Walker, who is the president of Young America's Foundation, is going to be joining us in a little while. Later on in the show, we're going to do a retrospective on the life of Michael Reagan, who was the adopted son of President Reagan and his first wife, the actress Jane Wyman. And Mike Reagan was a guest on this program many times over the years. Just, wow, a really good man. Just one of the good guys in politics, in the media world. And he will certainly be missed. He passed away, and we have made that announcement yesterday. Passed away yesterday, 80 years old. Michael Reagan, no longer with us. So we're going to be talking to Scott Walker, of course. Michael Reagan, very involved in Young America's Foundation and throughout the years. And, of course, Young America's Foundation owns what used to be known as the Reagan Ranch. By the way, just a programming note, many of you are coming to the huge Young America's Foundation convention in Nashville. That's going to be the first weekend in February, and yours truly will be one of the keynote speakers. So looking forward to, I don't have to fly very far for this one, so I always like to drive. You know, I'm one of these guys that, I guess living 15 years in New York City, I like to be out on the highways. And Dylan, I don't know if you are aware of this. You know, here in Tennessee, our maximum speed limit is 70 miles an hour, and it drives me nuts. Because in Arkansas, there's a stretch as you're going to Dallas in Arkansas where it's 75 miles an hour, which means you could do 80.
Yeah.
And somewhere, someone, and I don't know if this is true or not, someone will let us know if this is true. And it's probably in Kansas or somewhere. You can actually go 80 to 85 miles an hour.
We need our own Autobahn.
Yes, we do.
But maybe we don't, because in Memphis, as you know, people don't actually go the speed.
Well, line. We have our, well, I guess you could call I-240 the loop of the Autobahn.
That's
but
our Autobahn.
It's funny. Where was I? I was somewhere in Virginia, and I was heading up to Liberty University, as a matter of fact. And Dylan, I'm a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan. And yes. I'm not kidding you. Windows were down. It was a beautiful fall day. Windows were down. I'm driving, and I had Freebird playing. And you know that part where it really starts to pick up the beat,
you know,
and you're just like jamming.
You're feeling it.
You're feeling it.
State.
I was feeling it at about 110 miles an hour, and I'm like, whoops, better.
Yeah, your foot just casually keeps going down.
Better ease up just a smidge. But you know, that's the life, right?
Yeah.
That's driving nice. Down the interstate. And I thought, man, I need a pickup truck. Cadillac's great, but I need a pickup truck.
You need some black exhaust coming out of that thing.
That's it. Give me some mud flaps. I'm all over that. All right. Anyway, we've got a great show for you. Liz Peek's going to drop by. Also, retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is going to join us, giving us the very latest on this huge story that broke a little while ago where the U.S., they seized that Venezuelan tanker that now is flying the Russian flag. So there was a Russian sub that was nearby. There's a lot of unease in the world right now. And I want to... And really, that's going to be the brief starting off point, because we're going to get into more of this with Tony Schaefer in just a little while. But I want to put your mind at ease about some things here. Donald Trump knows what he is doing, and he has surrounded himself, especially in areas of foreign policy. Donald Trump has the best and the brightest. And there are people like the MTGs and the Tucker Carlsons and the Megyn Kellys and Megan, not so much as Tucker and Candace and the others, but they're on this mindset that Donald Trump is a globalist. Well, all you have to do is go over to Europe and ask anybody involved in NATO right now if they think Donald Trump is a globalist. They'll laugh in your face. Go ask China or Russia if Donald Trump is a globalist. They'll laugh you out of the country. Donald Trump is not a globalist. What Donald Trump is doing, he is positioning the United States of America in such a way that we are going to be secure and our homeland is going to be secure. Now, you think about this for a moment, because what happened down in Venezuela over the weekend had nothing to do with oil. And trust me, the oil is great. I was talking to Shanklin the other day, and Shanklin follows all this stuff. He runs the numbers. He's a numbers guy. And he said, hey, look, you need to understand something here. The oil that is produced by Venezuela is a heavier oil. This is the oil that's used to make a diesel fuel. And the problem with the grocery prices being so high right now is because while regular fuel is, those prices are coming down, diesel has not. So get ready, because diesel is about to go down, and I think you'll start to see those prices taper off at the grocery store. Again, it's going to take a little time, but again, that's a part of it. That's not why we did not do what we did to because of the oil. And we really did not do it because of the drugs. And here's the tell. If it really was about the drugs, we would have immediately invaded Mexico, because that's where most of the drugs coming into this country, that's where they're coming from, not Venezuela. It's really Mexico and Colombia. And the president put both of them on notice. But again, that's not the issue here. And the issue is really not even Maduro. The issue is stabilizing Venezuela and making sure that China and Russia and Iran have no toehold in our hemisphere. That's it. And a lot of people, they're not thinking in those kinds of terms, because they believe that the days of nations invading nations and conquering other nations, that those days are gone, right? That's in the past. But Donald Trump sees big picture, and I don't know who he is getting guidance and counsel from on this, but they're feeding him the right information and the right intel. Because not only do we have to worry about the communists, we have to worry about the Islamists. So we're looking at either a literal war or an ideological war on two fronts here. And Trump is doing what he can to keep the bad guys out of our backyard. That's what Trump is doing. And if we can go into a place like Venezuela, Colombia, and Mexico, and we can kick the Chinese and the Russians out, and then we can go in and destroy the drug cartels, do you understand what that will mean for many American cities? That will be revolutionary. Do you realize how many American lives will be saved as a result of all of that? It's really remarkable when you think about what Trump is doing here. But you have to think long game here. And what Trump is basically telling the NATO nations and telling Europe is, you guys take care of your backyard, we're going to take care of ours. That's what Trump is doing. Finally, we're putting America first again. And this is what bothers me about MTG and Thomas Massie. I mean, Massie may as well just become a Democrat. I mean, there's one thing to be a contrarian, but you got to vote for the president. You got to support the president on at least one thing. Otherwise, you're a Democrat. So just come on out of the closet, Thomas Massie. So that's what's going on here. That being said, it's very possible that there could be a war coming. And Trump knows that, which is why we need Greenland, which is another big piece of the puzzle. You look at a lot of the Russian warships and the submarine fleet, all of that, it's in that area around Greenland. And this is why it becomes a strategic piece of property for the United States. That's why we need it. We've got to keep those shipping lanes open. We're not able to do that if we don't control what's happening in Greenland. And that's why Trump is not he's not trying to become like the 21st century United Kingdom here. That's not what's going on. But we're living in a very dangerous world. And here's the other component of this. Back to the oil for just a moment. Where do you think China and where do you think Iran are getting their oil from? They're getting their oil from Venezuela. Those days are gone now. That's our oil. And that's when it'll get pretty dicey. So it's going to be fascinating. We are watching history literally unfold. The the history books will be writing about these moments, much like they wrote about the Monroe Doctrine, which in essence is what Trump is enforcing here. And what have we as conservatives always told our elected leaders? We don't need more laws, just enforce the laws that are already on the books. And that's what Donald Trump is trying to do here. And I believe he is well within his rights to do so. And God bless him. Folks, are you impressed with Secretary of State Marco Rubio? I just cannot say enough good stuff about it. Even CBS News last night, they were all over Marco Rubio and what a great guy he is and what a great job he's been doing. I think Rubio's a little concerned. He might have to become the new viceroy of Venezuela, but otherwise he's having a good time, the time of his life. I want to go to the phones real quick here. We've got Larry, who called in right away from our great affiliate in Winchester, Virginia, WINC. Larry, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Great to talk to you, Todd. Thank you. So I've been thinking a lot about what you said, and it actually dovetails very, very clearly into my idea. Marco Rubio, in one article, was described as a Latin whisperer. He has everything that's necessary, not only to fortify and rebuild and get Venezuela back to the way it was in 1973, but clearly, as you know, to influence the adjacent countries like Ecuador and certainly Cuba and ultimately Mexico, because I think a lot of this is really about Mexico. But Todd, I'm concerned about the signals that President Trump sends, and that ties into the bit with Iceland and these other things. I don't know if it's attention deficit, but something as big as what happened last week really needs to be sustained. And I think that what President Trump should do, he could pull a rabbit out of his hat by announcing that Secretary Rubio is leaving the administration and the roles that he has. You know, he has three positions in the administration, and that he's going to become immediately the administrator of Venezuela, the facilitator in Venezuela, so that the United States, our main goal is to stabilize Venezuela and not to be transactional, so transactional. I was concerned about the bit about the oil and Trumpening that. You know, that's what the Chinese do in these countries. They go in there and they leverage the resources and they get onerous loans against these countries. That is not the American way. That is not our tradition. So that's what really concerns me about what's going on now. I mean, you know, it sounds crazy that Rubio would leave as Secretary of State, but that's his wheelhouse. Go down there, and, you know, if the only thing he does is stabilize Venezuela and perhaps reform Cuba, you know, that's a pretty good year for anybody. And so that's kind of my focus here, and that's what I think of this. And, you know, I watched all the Sunday talk, and it was fascinating to hear. You know, a lot of these people are very well educated and very well informed, and I just think they missed the mark in a lot of the conversation. They got their eye way off the ball, and they're talking about things that aren't directly related to what happened. This is a generational opportunity, in my opinion. And the last thing, real quick, is I was thinking about President Kennedy. You know, he had the Alliance for Progress, and he had the Peace Corps. These were designed primarily for Latin America, which is an area I think that we've just overlooked. And America is what now? It's over 25% Hispanic, a lot of them immigrants. So this all has to come together. This has to, and there's nobody better, I think, to do it than Marco Rubio. But you can't ask him to do it if he's also brokering deals in the Middle East and he's dealing with Russia and these other issues.
That's the role of the Secretary of State, Larry. So I think he can juggle a lot of balls there, and I think he's going to be able to be entirely capable of doing both. And you're right, it's a huge job. I will say, be patient here, right? We still don't know the game plan for how this is going to play out, who's eventually going to be running Venezuela. And again, this is very different from Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran. We were talking about a former democracy that was overrun by the socialist and the communist. And so this is not some sort of a theocracy. We're not dealing with a religious war. And that, by the way, and Larry, thank you for that call. That, by the way, is the bigger problem with our foreign policy in the Middle East They don't understand that this has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with religion. And the Islamic religion, when you read the Quran, it is very clear who the infidels are and what they want to do. They want to conquer the globe. I mean, that's it. It doesn't matter what we do, and we can try as we might. And I know George W. Bush tried this. He went into Iraq and said, these people, we're gonna force American democracy on these people. They didn't want it. They had no interest in that. None whatsoever. And as a result, thousands of casualties as a result of George W. Bush. So, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Got to give a huge shout out to our friends at Pesci's Italian Deli. They're in Memphis, Tennessee. I went by. Someone said, Stearns, you got to try this out. It's a great place, mom and pop, tiny little place, and they make great homemade Italian food. So I went over there. And let me tell you something. Off the charts insane. And the guy, we're talking, and it turns out he's a big fan of conservative talk radio. And I told him about KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station. He said, I got to start listening. So the guy, does he listen to the Todd Stern Show now. They're in the Italian deli, but went over, got some books, and we told him, I said, call into the show. We got to get you to call into the show. And he said, can't do it. I'm making the meatballs. So, you know, you got to make the meatballs. There's a lot of meatballs. They sell a lot of meatballs. And they don't call it the sauce. They call it the gravy, Dylan. It's not our kind of gravy. It's the Italian kind of gravy.
The good gravy. It's all good gravy.
Everybody in New Jersey and New York know exactly what I'm talking about now. And it's the real deal.
That's the meatball sub place that you had the other day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good sub.
That was insane.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Pesci's, so I want to say hello, and if you want to grab a sandwich, you got to go over there and get the roast beef and the meatballs. You know, you can splurge a little bit. All right, coming up, we're going to be doing something new on the show about once every other week, maybe even weekly. We're going to be celebrating America 250, and we're going to be talking about why this country is great and why this country matters. And we've got a great guest coming up, a conservative high school history teacher. His name is Gabriel Delaney, and he's going to be joining us in just a little while to talk about what he's doing in the classroom to teach kids about American history. You know, one of the biggest problems we're dealing with right now in the country, and even right now with what's happening and trying to explain what's happening in Venezuela and Colombia and Mexico, is that kids just don't know their history. So we're going to talk to Gabe Delaney about that coming up next. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hey, folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now, listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/stars and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Our website, toddstearns.com. Great, great new content, some great stories up. We'll talk about those in just a moment. There is a new study, and it's a little alarming, and I it's not very surprising. And I don't think you're going to be surprised at all by this, but there is apparently a lack of civic literacy among Americans. Now, back when you and I were in school, back in the dark ages of the 1970s and 80s, they used to teach things like civics and American history. We used to have to memorize a lot of, like, the preamble. We used to have to do all those things. We pledged allegiance to the flag. We did all of those things in school. But in many schools across America, yeah, they're not doing that kind of stuff anymore. And honestly, folks, the biggest problem we have facing our country right now is our public school system, is our nation's academic system. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, welcome a brand new friend to the program. Gabriel Delaney is a history teacher in near Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Gabe, good to have you with us today.
All right, good to have you. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, let's just jump right into this because you're literally a history teacher, and you're talking to us, I hope, on what, lunch break or something there at the school?
Yes, sir, I am.
When you decided that, you know what, I'm going to be a teacher, why did you decide history, and why is history important for you?
Well, I think civic illiteracy is a huge issue in today's society, and one of my first experiences with that was I was working a bus route at my church, and in order to help pass the time, I decided to do a trivia game and ask them some history questions. And one of my first questions was, who was the first president of the United States? And I had quite a few high school-aged bus riders, and none of them could answer the question. And I think it was in that moment that I realized how badly our modern public school education system is failing not only the citizens of today, but the citizens of tomorrow as well. And that's when really I decided to get into history more.
I'm stunned by the findings here of this survey. More than 70% of Americans fail a basic civic literacy quiz on topics like the branches of government, the number of Supreme Court justices, and other basic functions of democracy. Gabriel, I now that you're in the education world, have you noticed that has there been some sort of a dumbing down of our society? Maybe
there has, for sure. I'm honestly surprised. I've taught history for going on 3 years now, but this is my first year teaching government and economics, and it's surprising to me how little knowledge the students have going into the class. And it feels like I really have to start at ground one. And that's even here at a Christian school. I couldn't even imagine how much more that would be at a public school. Just the overwhelming lack of civic illiteracy and how little people actually know about what goes on in our government and how it works. And from that study that you sent me, it's crazy. They didn't even know that there was three branches of government, or they don't know how many, congressmen they have, or even who's representing them at the time. It's just the amount of information that people don't know is kind of alarming because we do need to be an educated society, for sure.
When you see these kinds of studies, you understand, well, this is why the country is in the position it's in. I remember in the pandemic when all that happened and people were just willing to surrender their civil liberties. And I'm like, what are you people doing here? Have you not read your history books? Do you not know? And I guess they never actually read their history books.
Yeah, that is true for sure. It's crazy how history doesn't necessarily repeat itself in the exact way, but it does for sure follow a pattern. And we can follow that pattern to help us learn more and make better decisions in the future, but you can't make the better decision if you never read history in the first place.
We have a guy that calls in. We call him Professor Murph. He is a retired history teacher. He taught in public schools in Germantown, Tennessee. And he calls in on a pretty regular basis. And it breaks my heart to know that, you know, a lot of kids, they're never going to know what it's like to have a teacher like that. So to have you, a person like you in the class, you're kind of like a younger Professor Murph. You know, you're out there, you're teaching American history like it should be taught.
Yes, sir.
Gabriel Delaney is joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. He is a history teacher in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee area. What is it about the kids, you know, that you've found that really connects? You know, you're talking about the old guys with the powdered wigs and all that kind of stuff. How do you make that relatable to these kids?
Yeah, I think the best way, a question you get a lot when you teach history classes is, why do I need to know this? That they cast that, very, very often. So I always try my best to relate it to them personally. I do that through a few different ways. I try to begin each class giving them some sort of tidbit of news, a little news update, and I always try to tie that into what we're learning about American history, whether it's, this branch of government, and then we can go back and say, oh, well, where did that branch of government even begin? Or we can look at, some similar patterns in how presidents lead our country, and we can look back in history and see other situations that are similar. And I always try to keep it up to date for them and relate it to where they are at. I also use some other things as well. I try to do debates as often as possible. I think being able to have an opinion and also be able to articulately argue that opinion is very, very important. So we do a lot of stuff like that in order to keep them interested and active inside of learning the history class rather than just memorizing facts and dates.
So here you are in year three, and that's a great point. It's not just a matter of memorizing, but understanding context as well, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm just curious, 3 years into this, have you noticed the kids, are they taking an interest? Are they getting the content?
Yes, sir. I have noticed that. A lot of students come back to me, and no praise to myself, but they have found that they now love history. And if anything, that's not praise to me, but that's praise to how awesome history can be when they are digesting it the right way.
I'm curious about faith, and you're teaching at a Christian school, which I strongly encourage people to get their kids in a Christian school or homeschool. But when you talk about the founding of the nation and the role that Christianity had in the founding of the nation, how do you approach that for the students?
I start my government class and U.S. history class by teaching that America was founded on Christian principles. I think that is obviously blatant throughout all of American history. You can go back as far as the Pilgrims, or even, more recently as well. The Declaration of Independence mentions God 4 different times. It's literally impossible to teach American history without without teaching the Christian heritage that we have as well. And I think that's one thing that the left wants to move away from. And that's one thing that our public school system is trying to pull us away from, is this Christian heritage that we truly do have. There's a quote I have from Calvin Coolidge, and I'll just paraphrase it, but he said that our country was founded in the church house. Our country was founded for a Christian and a moral people. And we are founded as a Christian nation. And I think that's one of the most important things that can be taught through a history or government or civics class.
I think your one class alone, you're going to have thousands of people wanting to send their kids to your school because the kids need to hear this. This is such a positive affirmation that young people are learning about the foundations and the Christian foundations of the country. Gabe, what would you recommend to moms and dads? Is there anything that moms and dads could do at home, should be doing at home, to help really affirm what you're doing in the classroom?
I would say, first of all, the parents themselves need to be educated. They need to be involved. And I think, that's the school bell. One of the most important things is for parents to be involved in their child's education and not just sending your child to school and, never asking them what they learn or even taking a look at their textbook or something that might be taught in the class. I think it's very important that parents stay very, very much involved. And that's something that here at my school that I'm at that we do, we send home lesson plans so parents know what's being taught and how we're going to teach it and how we're going to apply this to God's word. And I think that's very important for parents to be able to do, is just to be involved, but for them themselves to also be educated as well.
Well, I just think that's terrific. So I guess you have to get to class. You can't be late for class. Is that right? Since you're
that's fair, yep.
I got to tell you, though, I have great respect. I had to speak to a bunch of kids at Lancaster Baptist School. Wonderful students, but to stare into that crowd and they're just looking at you, and yes, and you just feel like, you know, I can interview President Trump in the Oval Office, piece of cake, but I can't handle questions from a ninth grader.
Yeah, high schoolers are scary sometimes.
Yes, they are. Thank you for affirming me. All right. Gabe, look, we're going to let you get back to it. We know you're super busy, but we're going to get you back on the show. This is really, really helpful and such an encouragement to know that there's a history teacher that's really teaching kids what America is really all about.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Gabriel Delaney, everybody, from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He is a history teacher at a Christian school, year three, just got married, and they're crushing it over there. That's just... Don't you feel encouraged to know, ladies and gentlemen, that there are teachers like Gabe in the classroom that are helping to raise up that next generation of American patriot? That's how we are going to win hearts and minds, right there. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. And just a reminder, you can download my podcast. It's free of charge. You can do that at toddstearns.com. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter. We also have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
And we'll have more on this coming up a little bit later in the show. There has been a shooting involving ICE agents. This happening in Minneapolis, where just a little while ago, a violent mob of rioters attacked ICE agents with some sort of an automobile. We do not know what kind of automobile right now. ICE agents were unharmed. Homeland Security calling this a vehicle ramming incident. And we've seen these kinds of things happening all across the country, where these rioters will use cars and trucks and they'll ram the ICE agents. We understand that it was so bad that agents had to open fire to protect themselves and to defend their lives. And we understand at least one protester was shot and killed. Now, this incident, for those of you listening in the Minneapolis area, happened at East 34th Street and Portland Avenue. Governor Tampon Tim Walz says that he's urging people to remain calm. You know, this is really rich. This is the guy that allowed Minneapolis to burn down during the George Floyd riots. Remember that guy? And here he is standing up, and he's for months now, this guy has been just raising up a big stink, causing rioters to get out and march in the streets. He's the guy that's been fomenting all of this violence and the threats of violence against ICE agents. So we're going to keep you updated there on what's been happening in Minneapolis. We're waiting for some press conferences, but a very disturbing scene. And let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. Those ICE agents, Homeland Security, they have every right to defend themselves, every right to defend themselves. And I hate to say this, and it's a terrible thing when anybody gets shot, anybody loses their life, that's horrible. But when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And that's exactly what just happened in Minneapolis. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. While that's going on, here in Memphis, we had an incident yesterday. The owner of a sandwich shop, and I guess you could call it a dive sandwich shop. It's called Da Sandwich Spot. Da. I got to work on my my Ebonics here. Da Sandwich Spot is what it's called. And the restaurant owner banned ICE agents from coming into his establishment. National Guard, you're not allowed inside his restaurant. And so anyway, they had National Guard that were patrolling outside, you know, keeping everybody safe, which is what they've been doing. And the guy comes out there and, well, you just got to hear cut number two.
The business owner repeatedly asked them to get off the property and they refused.
This video circulating on social media has many confused as law enforcement agents are seen standing in front of the sandwich shop, unwilling to leave the property despite protests.
I have no idea what made them make that choice. I pulled up as a business owner, asked them to remove their vehicle from right in front of my door, and 60 seconds later, it was 40 National Guard outside.
I'm just a business owner, man. I'm a citizen. Why are y'all doing this to me? Can I get an answer, anybody?
I asked Brown if the officers were denied service, and he said no. But he also told me he wouldn't serve them even if they asked for service.
As a business owner, it's my right, man, to let them people know that I did not want them here, regardless of whether they liked it or not, like they needed to move.
One man who filmed the situation calls it a clear violation and an intimidation tactic.
For them to completely ignore a business owner's request to get off the property, I mean, that's sending a message that we don't care about your rights. You saw federal agents flood in. You saw Memphis police flood in. And they protected themselves. They looked out for them, not your average Joe.
This is normal. This is living in the city of Memphis as a black man.
The whole situation lasted a little over 30 minutes, with the guard and law enforcement eventually leaving without making any arrests. Rob Brown told me he's experiencing PTSD as a result of the situation and PTSD. Says he has not been contacted by law enforcement since. I reached out to Memphis Police and the U.S. Department of Justice for a comment on the situation and have not heard back.
All right, so let me explain what's going on here. So these guys, this is in a really bad part of town. And that's where the sandwich shop is. And the owner of the owner, he has like it's a strip mall. He's the owner of the restaurant. Is he the owner of the strip mall? It doesn't matter because the National Guard was here to patrol. That's all they were doing. And the National Guard, and we've seen all the video and the local news coverage, incredibly one-sided. But the fact of the matter is, those National Guard troops are there to protect. And since they've been in Memphis, crime is down over 70%, according to President Trump. He announced that over the weekend, over 70%. And you've got these angry, and by the way, you heard that white dude, and he's one of these radical activists. You know, they all hate the cops. They love the criminals. They love the thugs. They love the thug life. And that's what that's all about. But if you go into the neighborhoods, if you go and talk to the homeowners in that area, they're the ones that are on their front porch waving at the National Guard, offering them a glass of iced tea or some delicious food. That's what's going on in Memphis. Because overwhelmingly, the people here, we're grateful that President Trump sent the National Guard in to free us, to liberate us from the thugs. And that's what they're trying to do in Minneapolis. By the way, we're getting some new information. They're telling us now Minneapolis police stood down. They did nothing as the ICE agents were being attacked. Folks, it's time to play hardball. Enough of this nonsense. It is time to play hardball. We're going to be following the breaking news coming out of Minneapolis. Go to ToddStearns.com. We're going to have live coverage there as well. Hang tight. Hour two of the big show. It's only the first hour, people. Hour two of the big show coming up. Stick around, everybody.
from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Great to have you with us today. And we're following some breaking news out of Minneapolis. By the way, ToddStarnes.com, our live coverage news blog, is up and running, and we're going to be updating that throughout the show with whatever information comes our way. But here's what we can tell you. Just a little while ago, there was a mob of violent rioters. They attacked ICE agents in Minneapolis. At least one person was killed. Somebody in the mob tried to ram the officers with a vehicle. That's when the officers opened fire, and we understand a female protester was the one who was killed. Now, I want to read a statement to you from Homeland Security, and they've just released this. We've got it up on our website, and I would encourage you to go there and also check out all of our coverage, and you can also watch the show live there as we try to glean exactly what happened. But the reality here is that the people responsible for all of this, the people responsible are, in fact, the Tim Waltzes of the world, the governor of Minnesota, and this liberal wackadoodle mayor they've got, Jacob Frey, the one running around speaking Somalian and waving the Somali flag. Here's the official statement from Homeland Security. Today, ICE officers in Minneapolis were conducting targeted operations when rioters began blocking ICE officers, and one of these violent rioters weaponized her vehicle, attempting to run over our law enforcement officers in an attempt to kill them. An act of domestic terrorism. An ICE officer fearing for his life, the lives of his fellow law enforcement, and the safety of the public fired defensive shots. He used his training and saved his fellow law enforcement and the safety of the public. Let me go on here and read. The alleged perpetrator was hit and is deceased. Well, there you go. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Hashtag FAFO. The ICE officers who were hurt are expected to make full recovery. So we do have some injured officers. That now being confirmed by Homeland Security. This is the direct consequence of constant attacks and demonization of our officers by sanctuary politicians who fuel and encourage rampant assaults on our law enforcement, who are now facing a 1,300% increase to assaults against them and an 8,000% increase in death threats. This is an evolving situation, and we will give the public more information as soon as it becomes available. So we're going to be monitoring all of that, and we'll get you updated on the very latest there from Minneapolis. It's a terrible situation, and folks, hear me on this. We love life. We cherish life. But when you decide to get into a vehicle and weaponize that vehicle and ram that vehicle into ICE agents, law enforcement, you get what's coming to you. That's on you. That's on you. And my advice here to all of these law enforcement, they have been, a 1,300% increase in attacks against ICE agents. Are you kidding me? So my question, ladies and gentlemen, is it time for these agents to have a zero tolerance policy? In other words, when they see a car coming at them, do they open fire? When the mob attacks them, do they fire back? Because I'm telling you, the pepper spray and of the rubber bullets, that stuff's not working anymore. So maybe, just maybe, and we're talking about lives in danger here. God forbid this woman was, if the officers had not opened fire, what would have happened? You're going to have dead law enforcement or dead protesters. I stand with law enforcement. It's unacceptable. And Governor Tim Walz bears full responsibility for this, full responsibility. They're not careful, Minneapolis is going to burn down again. That's what's going to happen. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And if I were you, I would certainly pray for the good people there of the good people of Minneapolis. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're following some breaking news out of Minneapolis today, and it's a very disturbing story. We have live video and live reporting up on our website, toddstearns.com, the very latest, including statements coming in from Homeland Security saying they're treating this as a domestic terrorist attack. Here's what we can tell you. A federal immigration officer shot and killed a person in Minneapolis during an enforcement operation. Eyewitnesses say, and according to DHS, we can tell you that this woman rammed her vehicle in the direction of the ICE agent. She was ordered to stop. She did not. And as a result, the officer opened fire. We understand that there were ICE agents who were injured. We don't have a total number. Again, Homeland Security just saying there were injured officers. Now, the New York Times is reporting that the person who was shot and the person was shot and killed is the wife of a prominent activist and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, whose congressional district is in the shooting scene, described the person as a legal observer. I want to bring into the conversation a great American patriot. You see him all the time on Newsmax and my Newsmax show. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Tony, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, always great to join you. And yeah, I appreciate joining you on to talk about this clearly very important issue.
I mean, this is just, it's not surprising. It's more infuriating, I think, because the governor and the mayor knew what they were dealing with here, and they're the ones that just poured gas on this fire.
Well, the governor and the mayor have done everything they can to turn a wonderful place, and I'm very familiar with Minneapolis and Minnesota, and this region used to be a wonderful place to live, and it's turned into a third world nation. And this, by the way, for the record, this is what happens in third world nations. You have individuals who essentially work to undermine public authority for purposes of trying to destroy the ability of the government to enforce its own laws. This is, in my judgment, I'll be blunt, an insurrection. And I think we should have been going after people earlier on to set an example, because, Todd, you don't set an example. You have people continue on the left to ratchet things up. We know they never stop until they go too far. The left went too far, and to quote President Trump, F around and find out. Just saying, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Tony. And, you know, we just had a guy on in the last hour. He's a history teacher, and he was explaining to us that, you know, kids are he's just really surprised at how little children, young people know about our government, how our government right. functions. And to that point, when you've got the federal courts coming in saying, no, Mr. President, you can't send in the National Guard troops. Well, it actually opens the door for the president to declare an insurrection and to send in the military.
Yeah. And I don't. Yeah. And so this is where our side has been quiet. We've been discussing this, but it's like, OK, you know, you, the Supreme Court, have put the president into a position where constitutionally you can't stop him. You've limited his options to a worst case scenario. It's like, OK, you've taken off the table the organization which is best suited to work in urban environments, stability. That's the National Guard. I started off in the Ohio Army National Guard in 1981. I've been through the training. I understand what the Guard's role is from being in it. So for the Supreme Court to then limit the ability of the president to rely on and use the most appropriate and most effectively trained resource only leaves him the option, Todd, of going to the Insurrection Act, which I think demonstrably the left has been trying to push him to invoke, to actually use, because they want to have something happen. And now, in this case, something has happened. And I think in a sane world, the president then should look at bring the National Guard. Instead now, if he feels and he can feel, I mean, he has the right, he's the president, he can make the determination if there's civil unrest to the level that they're violating the act we're talking about the Insurrection Act, then he has to bring in the Marine Corps, or the Army or some other active duty military force, which is, you know, okay, you know, you kind of forced the president's hand to do that. I know he doesn't want to do it, but that's what may have to happen.
Tony, what would you say to people who are like, oh, posse comitatus, you can't have the military, you know, doing engagement on American soil?
So the answer is, and again, I've had to work multiple angles of this as doing counter-drug, counter-terrorism. The military can do anything short of arrest. That is to say, we can come in and provide intelligence support. I actually did a lecture in New Jersey at the Homeland Security folks up there regarding intelligence support to law enforcement operations. We can do everything up to the point of where we cannot read someone their rights, put the handcuffs on, and put them in jail. We can't do that. But everything short of that, we can do. So Posse Comitatus was simply put in place to make sure that we, the military, cannot be deputized marshals or police officers of the U.S. government. And I think it's a good distinction with a difference. With that said, you go into those cities, you set up perimeters, you have guns, and those guns will be loaded. And the idea is you'll be providing support to law enforcement, federal law enforcement, to do their job. So, again, president can still act to protect federal resources. It's just he has to use federal troops in an extreme situation instead of the National Guard, which, again, I don't think is better, but apparently the Supreme Court thinks it is.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joining us today on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line as we're following this breaking news story out of Minneapolis. And Tony, my concern is we've seen what happens when people riot in Minneapolis. The city burns, police departments burn down, and the governor does nothing. And we've got the same governor in charge who was in charge during the George Floyd riots.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why he's politically so bankrupt is he cannot run for a third term. With that said, President Trump said it yesterday, I'll say it again, he's just not a smart guy. And he's far more committed to the perception of being a liberal or a progressive icon rather than doing his job of being governor for all the people of Minnesota. It's a very dangerous situation. We'll see what happens here. But this person, from all accounts, the initial reporting, this person is in the wrong. She apparently injured to some level federal officers. And between you and me, you know, I've been through both military training and law enforcement training. Vehicles are a weapon. And so if she's using a vehicle to injure people, to try to kill people, she was using a deadly weapon and they responded with deadly force. And I think, this should be a warning. If people were rational on the left, Todd, this would be a warning to them. I'm not sure if they're going to take this as a warning.
And from the quotes I'm reading in the New York Times from locals there, I think they're wanting to arrest the ICE agent for shooting this activist. So I think this is a powder keg right now.
Yeah.
Tony, I want to switch gears. We were originally going to have you on to talk about what was happening in Venezuela. And sure. Again, I don't understand, you know, all these conservatives, so-called conservatives, are out there saying, oh, the president's a globalist. I think if you go and ask NATO that question, NATO's going to laugh you right back across the big pond.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's break this down a little bit because it's the opposite. I mean, I was with Pete Hegseth earlier this week on Monday, you know, doing an event where he was down at Newport News emphasizing the reinvigoration of our industrial base to build a big Navy. So that's not globalist. That's like us. That's U.S. That's America first. So when I hear this sort of thing from some of our own sides, like, no. America first doesn't mean America only. It means that we actually work in partnership with others, but we're the strongest partner. That's what it means. And so the Europeans don't get it. And one of the things, Todd, I don't know if you guys have talked about on your show a lot, but one of the things that I don't think people understand is that when President Trump goes after the shadow fleet in Venezuela, he's going after the Europeans, too. He's not a globalist because the globalists in Europe have been depending on us looking the other way and allowing for Russian oil to go into the shadow fleets. Remember, Russia, China, Iran, they all use these shadow fleets to move oil around to avoid sanctions, and the Europeans still buy it through third parties. The Europeans pretend they don't know they're buying Russian oil through India. So what President Trump is saying is like, no. No more of this us pretending we don't know what you're doing. So he's now, as part of the Venezuela thing, but Venezuela is kind of the opening salvo, Todd. He's going after all these knuckleheads, these globalists. So whenever I hear our side saying, oh, he's a globalist, like, dude, you don't understand what's going on, man. Just saying.
No, they don't, and they don't read the, they haven't read the Monroe Doctrine. You know that again.
Yeah,
again, you know, we say, Mr. President, you know, no more laws. Great, we're not creating more law. We're enforcing the one that's already on the book, and we just cannot have. And this goes back to JFK, and I'm just wondering what side would Tucker and all these other folks be on if the Cuban Missile Crisis happened today. I mean, you cannot have Chinese or Russian influence in the Western Hemisphere. We just cannot allow that to happen.
Yeah, and we know what happens when they do. They start subverting governments. Those governments turn against us. I think Venezuela is a great example of where our government was doing the bidding of our adversaries, and they were making money off of it. Just saying. So the fact that we've taken Venezuela out as the first example should tell others, like, yeah, we're not going to stand for this. And no, it's not globalist. It's actually acting in the interest of the American people. And I'm sorry, I don't care what the left says about, well, you know, we didn't follow international law. Well, we kind of did by grabbing Maduro. We implemented Article 51 of the UN Charter, which is right of self-defense, legally regarding U.S. law. We enforced a warrant. This wasn't an invasion, although we had Title 50 intelligence assets and Title 10 military assets involved. This was a Title 18 law enforcement operation to bring one to justice. So, and by the way, we're in and out of there. And now while we're quote unquote running the country, we're not really running it. We're having those who basically are still there running the country, but doing what we ask them to do. Just saying. So there's a big distinction with the difference. And I'm sorry some of the folks on our own side don't even see it.
Yeah, they don't. I've got about 60 seconds, and it's really fascinating to see what's unfolding in Iran right now, where, you know, we're hearing reports of lots of protests in the streets. The crown prince of Iran is actually making statements now. Do you think that we could see the return of the Shah of Iran in the coming days or months?
I'm not sure it'll be the Shah, but I think there'll be something that that reflects the removal of the mullahs, of the theocracy. There's 93 million people, 93 million Iranians are pretty upset, and they got the merchants this time saying no more of this nonsense because we can't make business, you know, we can't do business. If we can't do business, people don't get goods, you can't get gas, all these other things. So, yeah, I think they're another country, along with Cuba, by the way, that may well fall from economic pressures that have been brought about by long-term sanctions or by the sanctions being enforced by this administration finally.
People don't realize or remember that that Tehran used to be almost like Paris, like Beirut was, you know, described as Paris.
It was a beautiful place.
Beautiful place.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Tony, great stuff. We appreciate you hanging out for the breaking news.
Sure. Thank you.
All right, our good friend Tony Schaefer, everybody, and we'll get him back on. Just great military mind. And again, a lot of breaking news that's happening today. We're going to get to all of it. We're getting to your calls as well. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio show. So video has now surfaced of the shooting and what transpired, all the events leading up to the shooting. You can see this woman in what looks to be a regular SUV that a soccer mom would have. And she tried to get away from the authorities. They ordered her to stop. Instead, she hit the gas. You can see that she was about to run over somebody, and that was the officer who opened fire. We're going to play a little bit of this audio for you.
No! No! Oh, my God!
So it goes on. There's about 4 minutes of the video there, but we'll have that posted up at toddstearns.com in just a few moments. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Welcome into the conversation, our good friend, Liz Peek, one of the finest columnists in America. Liz, good to have you with us on this crazy breaking news day out of Minneapolis.
Is there any other kind these days? I mean, every day is a new bombshell. Yeah, this is obviously a terrible story. We didn't really want anyone to ever be in a position where ICE has to open fire on someone trying to kill them, and instead they kill them. This is a mess. And, you know, at some point, Todd, people have got to stop resisting ICE agents trying to go about doing their job. Not only, as we've seen, do they put ICE agents at risk, they also put themselves at risk. And, you know, if this were just a normal law enforcement encounter where a cop stops somebody to check a license and they accelerate and try and kill the cop and the cop shoots, no one would even give 2 seconds thought about that. But because it's ICE and because the left has demonized ICE, you know, obviously this is going to get an enormous amount of coverage. And I think all of this is just really unfortunate.
It's a terrible situation and out of control. The dangerous thing here is the same people that were in charge during the George Floyd riots are in charge of Minnesota and Minneapolis right now. And that is incredibly disturbing. But to your point, Liz, we have got to, they have, you know, look, you've got to obey the law. I mean, it's really that simple.
That's right. That's right. And the and it's really astonishing to me that Democrats have sort of carved out ICE as this heinous, malicious group when they are basically another branch of the federal government trying to enforce the law, just like Border Patrol, just like the FBI, you name it. And that's what these guys are doing. And, you know, you kind of just, everyone has to remember the people they are rounding up, by and large, first of all, they've all broken the law if they're here illegally. But secondly, they are targeting child molesters and rapists and human traffickers. These are bad people. Now, not everyone who has been caught up in the ICE web is a bad person, is a criminal, but by and large, that is who they're looking for. And the idea that these communities would resist purging themselves, that is to say their streets, their stores, their communities, of criminal gang members and stuff, it's really unfathomable. And the people marching in the streets about this, they really don't know what they're talking about.
Liz, so much happening, and we're following the developments with Venezuela, possibly Cuba, Colombia, Mexico, Iran, where people are now protesting in the streets. It's really fascinating to see what's happening here. People now taking to the streets and really demanding their freedom.
Yeah. I mean, the situation in Iran is actually possibly leading to something. I mean, we've seen protests in Iran over the years, as you well know, Todd, and they never have really amounted to a significant threat to the regime. I think this is verging on that. And frankly, what an unbelievably welcome development that will be. It has nothing to do with the United States. This is an organic upheaval in a country where the mullahs, the people in charge, have devoted the entire wealth of the country and the income and all the monies available to the government, not to feeding the country, not to improving the economy, but rather to funding terrorism through their proxies, Hezbollah, Houthis, etc., and Hamas, of course. So it, should there be a change in leadership in Iran? Remember that this is a country not that long ago, extremely educated, pro-democracy, that have been suppressed for years under this religious autocracy, theocracy. And it would be such a welcome development. And boy, it would just immediately turn the clock back on all these terrorist groups in the Middle East. They would have really no place to go.
Yeah.
And it would be an incredible plus.
It's a game changer. I mean, it's really exciting,
totally.
Exciting times.
Yep.
LizPeak.com is her website, folks. Got to check it out. Liz, I'm curious to hear your take on Nicolas Maduro. I mean, what a fascinating, it's almost like a Tom Clancy novel going on down there.
Yeah, and his wife. I mean, his wife is not just an adjunct. She was fully participating in the stuff that went on in Venezuela. Power behind the throne, whatever you want to call her, Lady Macbeth, I think they called her, rightly so. I think that the extraction of Nicolas Maduro and his wife was extremely, incredibly competent and capable. And frankly, at the end of the day, Americans want to see American power used in a constructive way and also well used. And under Biden, of course, we had a horrible Afghanistan pullout. There have been other disastrous military events in our lifetime. This one was simply brilliant. And by the way, so was the Iran nuclear attack, the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. We have the military everybody is envious of, and it's great to see it in play. I do think that the Trump administration has to be pretty damn careful that the bad guys don't take over the streets, that citizens are not purged who sided, and that's what we're hearing, that they're stopping people, looking at their cell phones. And, you know, if you were in support of the overthrow of the Maduro regime, you're targeted. That can't happen. And I think that we have a lot of cards to play with this vice president who is in charge. I think that the Trump White House did a smart thing, keeping effectively the institutions and the people in place, but with leverage and with threats, and understanding that if they did not behave decently towards their own people, much less the United States, we were going to come at them with a hammer blow. And I hope that that really does kind of result in a calmer environment soon. But meanwhile, Todd, I mean, the president now has created this unbelievable energy security in North and South America. Our hemisphere is now, we are dominant in terms of the energy resources of the world, which puts Russia on guard, Iran on guard. We have much more control over what kind of revenues they get to fund their terrible activities. And it's not going to happen overnight that Venezuela production increases enormously. It's going to increase some, but this is a real change in South America. And I think there are more to come. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I do too. And I love, we just had Tony Schaefer on, a retired lieutenant colonel and a great military guy. And I just, you know, it really frustrates me when I see Democrats and even some within our own ranks that are out there accusing Trump of being a globalist, that this is not an America First policy. This is exactly what an America First policy looks like.
Yeah, I think I honestly don't think those people have much credibility. When I hear about, you know, Trump isn't behaving according to MAGA guidelines, he is MAGA, folks. He is the person that created a philosophy of whatever is good for America, that's what we're going to do. And it's not always sitting on our hands and watching a corrupt despot to the south of us kill people by importing cocaine, but also importing gang members and others who are up to no good in our country. If that's bad for us, take them out. And that's what they've done.
Absolutely. All right, Liz. By the way, did you have a good? You know, you were telling us about your big Christmas plans and New Year's. Y'all have a good time?
We had a wonderful holiday. Lovely Christmas. Absolutely. Lots of kids and dogs and babies and chaos, and it was absolutely perfect. How about you?
Same here. Yeah, that is good. The perfection. That's what it's all about. Oh my goodness,
it really is.
All right.
I agree.
And meanwhile, we get back to the real word, chaos.
Yeah, so. But you know, Todd, it was perfect. We all were agreeing at Fox this morning that, you know, we had 2 weeks off, more or less off, not totally, but more or less. No, nothing happened, and then boom, just as we're about ready to come back to work, we had Venezuela. It's perfect.
That's it. Exactly. Liz, we look forward to a great new year with you, and thanks again for being a part of the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, Liz Peek, everybody, LizPeek.com. We do need to take a quick break. By the way, the live video, that video of the shooting itself, you can go and see that in the break here at ToddStearns.com. Be careful. It's a shooting. But we want to make sure that you see exactly what happened there in Minneapolis. 901-260-5926. Watch that video. Then give us a call. I'm curious to know if you believe those officers were justified in protecting themselves. 901-260-5926. You know, President Trump is right. Millions of people are tuning into Newsmax. They're watching us on cable. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs, one of the top news brands in the nation. That's what Reuters says. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Very busy day now, as we're watching not only what's happening there on Capitol Hill with the Somali scandal and the fraud hearings underway. Now this horrible shooting in Minneapolis, the ICE agent, several injured in this attack. The gunman, a female, is dead. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Bob in Georgia. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Appreciate you taking my call. You hear me?
Bob, you're on the air, Bob. Let's get to it.
Yep. Let's dive right in. You know, I'm all for President Trump capturing Maduro and bringing him to justice because, you know, of all the drugs they poured into the United States and all the illegals. And the statement I want to make, if Pam Bondi was listening right now, I'd say get rid of all the Maduros here in the United States. 18 U.S.C. 1703, there's more people got problems with that than you could shake a fist at. And we need to start targeting these people of all the Maduros in the United States, and it's worse than what you think. I had to flee the state of Tennessee out of all my life in Camden, Tennessee, because of that code I just said. And actually, 18 U.S.C. 241 and 242, I went up to Camden to exercise my rights. Police officers came out and they said, "If you don't leave right now, we're going to arrest you right now."
Well, why did they? What did you do?
Just out of the blues, the postmaster. He didn't want to deliver my mail, so I go up there, and I'm a journalist and a whistleblower. So I thought, you know, I've had the community say, well, I had one of the neighbors says, well, there's around 200. I had one guy, he probably gave me way up on a high figure.
No, but why did they kick you out of the state of Tennessee? We're a pretty nice state here. You got to do something really bad to get kicked out of Tennessee. Unless you're an Alabama fan, maybe, or something. But what'd you do?
Yeah, I've got a YouTube channel. I'm fixing to release some things.
Well, okay.
And it was because of you have to know this town. Brett Lashley also.
All right. Well, we're getting into the weeds here, my friend. I really don't know much about that. But Bob, good luck with the YouTube channel, and maybe. Maybe you'll be able to go back to Tennessee. You know, I hate that somebody wouldn't be able to go back to Dollywood or go to Bucky's because you had a beef with the mailman. So I don't know. There may be a little bit more to Bob's story. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So, this story is from a university in Tennessee called Austin Peay State University. They fired a professor who said these horrible things about Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's just really detestable stuff. Not only have they rehired the professor, but they're paying this professor just thousands of dollars of your tax dollars as a way of saying, oops, our bad. We shouldn't have fired you in the first place. Cut number one.
Massive settlement for an APSU professor suspended after sharing an article quoting Charlie Kirk. We just learned the university paid $500,000 to Darren Van Michael. Van Michael was suspended from Austin Peay State University back in September after he shared an article quoting Kirk's own thoughts about gun violence. APSU eventually decided to bring Van Michael back after an apparent threat of a lawsuit. The university is now paying him $500,000 to prevent any potential lawsuit, including First Amendment claims. The university also agreed to apologize for not following the tenure termination process.
Yeah. Look, here's the deal. All these universities, because they were coming under fierce attack people were so disgusted by what these professors were saying that they were firing these folks. Well, now they're all being rehired. Just about every university that fired a professor, they're actually rehiring these people. And look, I mean, okay, fine, you're going to do that, but at least now you know that these people are evil. These people have, they are dark-souled people. They are evil, evil. And I think we ought to remember that. I think that if you are sending your kid to a school like Austin Peay State University or Berkeley or Harvard or Yale or wherever, I think you deserve to know if your child's professor celebrates the murder, celebrates the assassination of conservative people. I think you deserve to know that. But I'm telling you right here, ladies and gentlemen, and this goes back to the conversation we had with our history professor in the first hour of the show. If we do not do something about our nation's education system, it's over. We have got to get a handle on that. And for whatever reason, the administration, I know they have a lot of irons in the fire, but the sole responsibility for the education secretary, in my estimation, is to completely dismantle that department. On that note, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has officially dissolved, which is a great thing for all of you freedom-loving patriots. You are no longer funding the propaganda voices at NPR or PBS. So thank you, President Trump, for that. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. Hey, by the way, in the break, don't forget Star Spangled Blessings, my brand new book co-written with Michelle Cox, good friend of mine. It is a great way to kick off America 250, our big, big birthday celebration. We'd love for you to get a copy. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, available at your favorite bookstores. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hour three of the big show coming up. Mary Walter from Newsmax is going to be joining us. We are also following some of the breaking news, two big stories, an explosive hearing up on Capitol Hill right now, just unbelievable, and the Republicans just grilling the Democrats over this massive fraud scandal in the Minneapolis area involving Somalians. It's fascinating. Over 54% of Somalis in Minnesota are getting some form of welfare compared to 7% of the rest of the state. That's what we're dealing with here. And, of course, the other breaking news, and we've been covering this in our live show blog over at toddstarnes.com. We have video, just insane stuff happening, where violent mobs are attacking ICE agents. Right now they're being pelted with snowballs and other stuff. There was video of a woman, the wife of a prominent activist, who rammed ICE agents, and we've got multiple videos posted from multiple scenes and views, so you can see for yourself what happened. They opened fire. She's dead. And now you've got all sorts of folks. Do we have Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, is now ordering ICE to leave Minneapolis. Take a listen to this real quick.
I am increasingly concerned because of the chaos that is being caused by these ICE agents, that somebody is going to get seriously injured or killed. Somebody is going to get seriously injured or killed. And whether that is an ICE agent or a community member, we all know the tinderbox that could explode because of it. We all know that the federal government is looking for reasons to deploy more and more people to Minneapolis and blue cities around the country. We all know that we cannot afford to lose a single Minneapolis resident because they showed up and decided to protect their neighbors, because they showed up and decided to express their constitutional right to free speech. And so that concern is deep. It is held, by the way, not just by me and our residents and the people who are standing up behind me. The concern about getting somebody killed is also held by our police officers.
Yeah, well, the police officers don't want to be run over either, Mr. Mayor. So there you go, the very latest, and we're going to keep an eye on this. Homeland Security now calling this an act of terrorism. So, again, ToddStarnes.com, go read all of our breaking news coverage there. Okay, yesterday, just sad, sad news for the conservative world. Michael Reagan, the adopted son of Ronald Reagan and his first wife, Jane Wyman, passed away, 80 years old. What an incredible man, an incredible life he lived, and an incredible impact he had on really the nation, and especially the nation's young people, through Young America's Foundation. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the president of YAF, Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin, joins us. Scott, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, Todd. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
You know, a lot of folks don't understand the true impact that Michael Reagan had and, you know, the great work that he did with you guys at YAF.
Well, I think about the impact. Talk about a life well lived. I mean, this is a guy who could have lived in the shadow of his father, the great President Ronald Reagan, and certainly he admired and told stories and made reference to him, but he did far more than that. I mean, he spent decades on a nationally syndicated radio show. That's where I first got to know him, was listening when I was in the state legislature going to and from our capital city in Madison, Wisconsin. And then years later, as you referenced, as I became the president a few years back of Young America's Foundation, got a chance to get even closer to Michael. And just about every one of our student conferences out at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, and then years later, even in Dixon, Illinois, he and Ashley, his daughter, came and helped us do the very first event at the Ronald Reagan Boy at Home in the heartland of America. In each of those cases, he did more than tell stories about his father, and he certainly shared some great insights, but he really specifically talked about the ideas and, more importantly, the ideals that Ronald Reagan and later Michael Reagan spent their entire public careers advocating for, and really not just inspiring, but really challenging young people to pursue those founding principles that we hopefully will remember, particularly as we get closer to July 4th this year.
And it's so important because we're sort of in this weird, I don't know if you sense it, but there's just a weird vibe right now within the, I don't know, conservative movement, the Republican Party. Everybody's trying to figure out what it means to be a conservative. And I keep going back to the central, you know, the central truths of the founding of Young America's Foundation. Those are the conservative principles that we've been fighting for so long now.
Yeah, and Michael would be even more so. Now, I just talked to him 3 days before Christmas. He was talking about exactly these sorts of things. That for us, the Sharon Statement, our group YF, was started at the home of William F. Buckley. Ronald Reagan got involved a few years later. We've had plenty of other, you know, great names throughout the years. Katie Pavlich, Mark Levin, all these folks have been a part of our program. Even Greg Gutfeld went to our journalism center. But it's more than just alumni. It's these founding principles, this idea of not just freedom, the word, but economic freedom, political freedom, religious freedom. I often, on campus, will sometimes get asked by student newspaper reporters, will say, what's the difference between a liberal and a conservative? And remember once I looked at her and I said, well, the simple difference is they believe in the government. We believe in you. You know, they believe that the government is the solution. We're seeing it in New York City, you know, the warmth of collectivism. I always wonder, that must be why they put the Berlin Wall up, why they put the wall around between mainland Cuba and Guantanamo Bay. All those instances was to keep the warmth. No, it was to keep the people, because they wanted to get away from radical communism, radical social, radical Marxism. And those are things that should unite us. We should be talking about those big ideas and the contrast of what's at stake, not these weird personality wars that sadly we've seen the last couple months kind of heighten and take attention away from the real issue, which is that our freedom, as Reagan said, is just one generation away from extinction.
And a great lesson in that is looking at what happened in Venezuela, where they literally lost their freedom in a generation. Their entire country changed as a result of that. And I think there are a lot of lessons for all of us to learn from what happened in Venezuela.
Absolutely. Daniel DiMartino, someone you know that speaks frequently at our conferences, like YF.org, we've got information about that right now, some of the great videos we just did with him out at the Reagan Ranch. But he talks about his grandfather coming to Venezuela from Spain in the mid-1950s because per capita income was even greater in Venezuela than it was in America at that time. And that, you know, you had an elected official, Chavez, being elected, Maduro following, and then, of course, pointing out that it's one of the rare instances where a socialist government comes in not through force but through elections, but then sustains their position of authority through force and oppression. And we saw how socialism, not just those individuals, but socialism itself, ruined one of the most prosperous nations in the world. And hopefully, given a chance to break free of that, it can go back to that once prosperous status.
Yeah, we had Daniel on the show yesterday, and it was just a fascinating conversation to hear him, you know, talk about his life and what it was like, you know, and then having to leave and to come to this country. And you could sense the joy in his spirit, knowing that there's hope for his home country now.
Well, there is, and that's what, you know, freedom, part of the reason why America is so exceptional is not because there's something unique in the individual DNA of the people that live here. We are much like, from a DNA standpoint, literally from DNA, we're not unlike our ancestors from elsewhere around the world. What makes America exceptional, what makes Americans uniquely exceptional, is people like Daniel and others, whether it's recently or it's years, decades and centuries ago, came here to flee persecution elsewhere, to seek better opportunity, not just for themselves, but for their children, their children's children. Those are things that built America. Those are things that Ronald Reagan talked about, things that Daniel's talking about. Now, of course, part of the key is following the rules. That means coming here legally, following the, and not just legal immigration, but immersing yourself, actually becoming a part of the culture and a part of the system, not trying to take it over and dominate it. Those are the keys to the success we've seen in the past and can be going forward. But we've got to be clear this year more than ever about what it means to be an American and how cherished that freedom is. And a great reminder, we've got our Freedom at 250, which you're going to help us kick off in Nashville beginning of this next month. That's really core to this year-long program, is the idea of what did our founders risk? What did they risk? Literally everything for the freedoms we hold dear today. And then challenging all of us, but particularly young people, to say, as part of this year-long program, what are we willing to stand up and risk today to ensure freedom, not just for the moment, but for generations to come?
The Nashville Freedom Conference, it's February the 6th and the 7th, open to college students. And you can get information at the events page over at YAF.org. And there's a great lineup. Of course, Daniel DiMartino is going to be there. Also, Michael Knowles, Mary Margaret Olihan, a lot of voices that you hear on this program. And I got a little nervous, Scott. Dr. Art Laffer, who I just love, I got invited by Liberty University. He and I were doing a panel together. It was just me and him on economics, and I can barely balance my checkbook. I was horrified. You know, 14,000 students, and I just let Dr. Laffer just Dr. Laffer just take it away. I'm going to take notes on the
he's
stage.
He's right there now, based in Nashville, because he got wise. It went from California to Nashville because he understands economics. He knew the economics were better in a state without an income tax that was actually well managed along the way. But he is a charm. He is an American treasure.
Yeah.
And we're blessed to have great speakers like him and you and so many of your great others you mentioned.
Well, I'm honored to be a part of the great lineup and just a great event and a great organization of folks. If you have a youngster in college, they should consider going and checking this out. And you'll be pleased to know, Scott, at Rhodes College in Memphis, they reinstituted that YAF chapter, and they are just crushing it over there. And a lot of kids are coming out and saying they're conservative.
Well, I think that's one of the blessings of the horrible situation that happened back in September with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, is there's a a lot of, obviously a lot of us, not just young people, were horrified by that, but what we saw on so many campuses was the sense that instead of backing down, it woke people up. It woke young people up to say, no, I can't just sit back here and think they're crazy. I've got to do something about it. I've got to make a case. I can be civil. I can be decent about it. But I've got to speak the truth. And one of the best things on each of these campuses when these kids get together, or like they will in Nashville, the number one thing better than even the speakers, the program, the music, the entertainment, is the fact that they get together and realize they're not alone.
That's it.
That's what the left tries to do, intimidate them. When they get together, when they gather, when they're a part of this, or when they go to things like YAF TV on YouTube and see that there are more voices like theirs out there, that gives them extreme confidence going forward, and it's only going to grow.
All right. Look, Scott, we're going to leave it here, and we certainly appreciate it. I know you're going to be on Newsmax tonight with me, and we'll continue the conversation about Michael Reagan and the great work that he did, and appreciate the great work that you and the team are doing at YAF.
Our pleasure. Have a good one. See you later.
All right. There you go, folks. Scott Walker, president of Young America's Foundation, and he is also the former governor of Wisconsin. Great guy. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to see a lot of young people. I think our Rhodes College chapter that just got started up, they're going to have a crew there. So we'll have a great time there in Nash Vegas. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
And I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. People are being hurt. Families are being ripped apart. Long-term Minneapolis residents that have contributed so greatly to our city, to our culture, to our economy are being terrorized, and now somebody is dead. That's on you. And it's also on you to leave.
So that is the mayor of Minneapolis. I mean, that's talking about pouring gasoline on the fire. The Jacob Fry, he's the guy waving the Somali flag on stage. He's a Fruit Loop. Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary, is down in Brownsville, Texas, and she said that this was an act of domestic terrorism. That's a direct quote from Kristi Noem. Dylan, you've seen the videos. You've been pulling in the videos. You've had a chance to see them from multiple angles here. What's your take on what we saw?
Yeah, the original video that came out, you could see a little bit in front of the car, and you could see the agent there, and you could see he kind of moves out of the way, but you can't, you know, from my perspective, I couldn't tell initially if he got hit. But then I saw a second angle that came from in front of the car pretty far away, but it's very obvious at that point that he did get hit because it moves him like 5 feet past the car. It's like very obvious.
I was curious that they're saying, because people, oh, you know, these ICE agents, the woman was just trying to leave peacefully. They were trying to get her. She had done something and evaded them, jumped into her car. They were trying to get her out of that car.
Yeah, because you could see the agent try to open the door. They were yelling at her to stop, get out. So she was obviously not doing something that they told her to do. So
this is, by the way, they're saying that hundreds of angry people are now gathering at the scene. And they're pelting the ICE agents. They're taunting them, saying, what are you going to do, shoot us too? Well, they might. I mean, if you try to ram them with a vehicle, I mean, what are you supposed to do? That's crazy. And it's one of these liberal Karens. These women are unhinged. They're dangerous, Dylan. I'm telling you.
And the hair. Painted hair.
Yeah, that's hair. That's it. I mean, they're protesting all over the place. I mean, you got them in Memphis, Houston, Salem. Well, you guys, Salem, it's, you know, they're used to this kind of stuff. But this is crazy. Meanwhile, up on Capitol Hill, this is insane, these hearings. We're going to be playing a lot of video tonight from the hearings. But these Democrats are unhinged, and the Republicans aren't having anything to do. They're not having it. They're giving it right back to them. So good job, Republicans. Here's my take, and I'm glad to see this starting to happen. The administration is starting to pull or withhold funding. That's what needs to happen. Any state, any city where you've got this level of corruption, pull the federal funding. Just put it on hold. Put it on pause. The other big story that we were going to be looking at today is what was happening in Boston, where they've found the same level of fraud there that they found in Minneapolis and that they found in Ohio. And you know what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen? It tells me that this sort of fraud is happening in every major city in America. By the time we get all this cleaned up, we may not have to raise taxes. We might even get a tax break. Send everybody back home. Send them back to where they came from. That's what we say here on this program. All right, Delta's ready when you are. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Mike, what's going on?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that unless a prominent Democrat is treated like Bannon, Navarro, Papadopoulos, Stone, if no one of that level goes to prison over any of this fraud, it's just going to continue and eat away at America from the inside. That's the only way to put a stop to it is stop talking about accountability and actually make it happen.
Well, that's a fair point. And again, I hope, for example, and again, on this program, we hate for anybody to get shot unless you're an evil person and you're doing, you know, wrong and you're hurting somebody. We cherish life, but when you attack an ICE officer with a vehicle, yeah, they're going to open fire on you now. And the reality is you could lose your life as a result of that. So you say, well, that's not right. Well, what about the ICE officer? Doesn't he have a right to live as well? So maybe, just maybe, these protesters are going to think twice before they use their vehicle as some sort of a battering ram. So to your point, sometimes – somebody's going to have to suffer the consequences for their actions. I hear you on what you're saying about Bannon and the others, and that was a great injustice. The fact is, the Republicans we have in Congress right now, Mike, they do not have the stomach to do that sort of thing, to do what needs to be done. I just don't think they're going to be able to do that.
Well, contrast what happened in Minneapolis with the ICE agent to Michael Byrd and Ashley Babbitt. He shot her because he feared for his life, yada, yada, yada. Well, why doesn't that apply to this ICE officer?
Mike, going to leave it there. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Mary Walter, host of Mary Walter Radio and a Newsmax contributor. Mary, before we get to Michael Reagan, I want to get your take on what we're seeing unfold in Minneapolis, right? It is insane. Right now, hundreds of people are throwing snowballs at the ICE agents, daring them to shoot them.
Yeah. So, to be fair, I have not seen the video because I was at the Can-Can sale at ShopRite. And so I was listening to it and then listening to it in the car. So I have not seen the video. However, here's the thing. This was inevitable. And your last caller had a really good point. If Michael Byrd was in fear of his life from an unarmed woman, right, then why is an ICE officer not to be in fear of his life or the other officers when she took off, right? We don't know. We're all spitballing here. None of us know all the details yet, but they say they're throwing snowballs. When you were a kid, there was always that kid who would put like a rock inside a snowball and go, but I was just throwing snowballs, right? There was always that kid. And this is what happens. This is Trump's FAFO policy. These people push and push and push and push and then cry when the ICE officers push back. I'm sorry that this happened. This is a horrible thing. Sadly, it was inevitable. And honestly, I think there are some on the left who wanted something like this because they think now they'll finally get rid of ICE. That's what they think is going to happen now.
Well, the mayor, Jacob Frey, said, in this press conference just moments ago, and I mean, we can't repeat it verbatim. He said he told ICE, get the F out of Minneapolis. He said their version of events, which, by the way, are backed up by multiple video angles, is BS. That's just going to pour gasoline on the fire. I don't see this calming the angry mob of, and by the way, this was, I think, a 37 or 38-year-old woman who was driving this vehicle.
Well, they said, they described her as middle-aged. Pardon me, but I don't think 37 is middle-aged, but that's just me.
No, no, no. Yeah, this information, let me say that, is coming from the New York Times, that she's the wife of a prominent activist there in Ilhan Omar's congressional district, where all of this is transpiring, about a mile, by the way, from where the George Floyd incident happened.
You read my mind. That's exactly what I was going to say. Of course, Jacob Fry got up and stoked the flames. This is the guy who was dancing with the Somalians, right?
Yep, that's him. Yeah, that's him.
Okay, so this guy is a train wreck. He is a tool of the left. I'm sure he's owned by many, many people if they ever investigate him. And who knows? The Republicans are big on hearings and investigations, but they never seem to do anything with the information. But they want unrest. Like, we have to understand what they want. First of all, if you trace the money, a lot of this goes back to communist China. China has been trying for years and years and years to upset the American government, and they know that they can do it with the useful idiots because they are perpetually outraged and they're a hair trigger, and they'll risk their lives like idiots because they're going to get paid $200 at the end of the day.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No. So I'm just saying they want this. We have to understand that the left wants violence, which is why you always hear people on the right saying, don't give them what they want. Don't give them what they want, because that's exactly what they want. But that's why they have been pushing and pushing these ICE agents. They wanted, I firmly believe they wanted violence. I'm not going to say they wanted someone killed, but they wanted someone harmed by ICE. So it will justify the next step of their outrage, which is usually lighting cities on fire.
And to be determined, but we will pay very close attention to how things unfold there in Minneapolis. Not a good situation right now. Before we get to Michael Reagan, Kai Trump sat down and did the craziest podcast interview. That's the president's granddaughter, the one who's the golfer, right? She sat down with, is it Jake Paul? Logan Paul. Jake Paul.
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul. Logan Paul. I can't.
Logan Paul.
Which one?
Yeah.
They all look alike to me. What am I going to do? So, thank you, Dylan, for
God.
No. So, anyway, I was just really fascinated. First of all, I thought it was a very fun, interesting interview. I want to take a listen to two clips from this interview. This is Kai Trump that you're going to be hearing from. Cut three.
Was Kamala the ops when your granddad was running?
To be honest with you, I stay out of politics completely.
Love that.
Completely.
Love it.
So I would never run. Like, I don't want anything to do with politics because I feel like politics is such a dangerous thing. And I think if both sides met in the middle, everyone would be so much more happier. And I think there's radical left, there's radical right. And there's a lot of people that get too extreme. And that's where social media really ties into it, because social media kind of makes your Instagram or your feed or whatever kind of either be really one way or the other. And there's not a lot of there's not a lot of things on social media where you're very much in the middle. And I think that's kind of makes some people crazy and some people buy into it too much. I think that's like the best way to say it. There's no bad blood. I'm very much in the middle and kind of like, it is what it is. They ran against each other. Obviously, I'm going to support my grandpa, my family member. But that's pretty much it.
You know, Mary, I love this answer because it's exactly how you would expect a person her age to answer a question like that. You know, and again, I know there are some people, some conservatives are going, I can't believe you. How come she's, you know, not more conservative? Because she's a young person and she's still forming her political beliefs, and give her some time.
Of course. What I thought was, as when I was listening to that, I'm like, oh, someone's listening at the family dinner table. Right? This is why I wish families would get back to having meals at the dinner table. Of course, you know, if she's raised in a family with two hippie parents, then, you know, the conversation would be much different. But I wonder if that's what's happening at the dinner table, because she is informed despite being young. And of course, you know, kumbaya. If you don't have a heart in your 20s, you know, you're not a liberal. And if you don't have your if you don't use your brain in your 30s, you're not conservative or something like that. You know, whatever that saying goes. But yeah, she's idealistic. Wouldn't it be great if everybody could meet in the middle and sing kumbaya? She doesn't understand the money. There's adults that don't understand the money that's involved in this, and this is why most good people don't run. And it takes someone like her grandfather, who has more money than he could possibly ever need and can finance himself and give the finger to everybody else who tries to own him. But I give her a lot of credit for what I thought was still a very mature response for someone her age.
She also was asked about her dating life, and I wanted you to hear that. The answer, I thought, Mary's got to talk about this. cut number four, please.
What is dating like for you?
To be honest with you, it's really awkward when you're sitting like and having like going on a date with a guy and like there are like two tables behind you. It's like a little weird.
That's crazy.
But I mean, my thing is I try my best not to like let it bother me. Like, and I think I've learned, especially the past year now that it's been pretty much a year since he's become president, is I've had to learn to kind of, yes, they're following me, but also focus and like pretend like they're not there. Like, obviously they're there, but if you can like try not really focusing on that and more enjoying your time with your friends, your family, whatever it is, it makes it easier. Because like for the first few months, it was tough. It was not easy kind of having someone following you all the time and like planning if you're going out somewhere, you have to like, oh, I'm leaving 5 minutes. Like you don't really think about that stuff because you kind of just like, if you live a normal life, you just go out your house and leave. Like you don't have to like plan every single second. So that was kind of tough. But I think literally once I was like, well, their only job is to kind of protect me. I'm going to focus on my stuff and have them do their job. It made it so much easier.
I mean, props to her. I don't know if I could handle somebody just following me around all the time. No privacy.
She could ask her cousin Baron, because Baron's older than she, and so he understands it and remembers much more.
No, Mary. That's her uncle. It's Uncle Baron.
Oh, that's right. It's her uncle.
He's 1 year older than she is, and that's Uncle Baron.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. It's weird. But she could still ask him, right? Like what it's like. I'm sure that they're close because they're so close in age, right? That they can have that conversation about what it's like. You know, when they sit at the kids' table at Thanksgiving at Mar-a-Lago. You know,
yeah, it's stable.
And Todd, now that I know that you don't want anyone following you, I'm going to hire like a mariachi band to follow you around all day.
Oh, Lord, that was the worst. Whenever I was in New York City commuting on the subway and they would have a mariachi band or the pan flute guy, and it just made for a really bad commute.
Yeah.
Can we talk?
Yeah, but sometimes it can make for a good commute. It's just that they always want a tip.
Yeah, pan flute. You know, they do, and they're very aggressive. And the pan, I just can't handle the pan flute. It drives me nuts.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I don't think he's around anymore.
They're from Peru or something. They're Peruvian now.
Yes.
You know,
on 7th Avenue.
That's the guy.
Yes.
Jeez. Can we talk about Michael Reagan for just a minute? We had Scott Walker on from Young America's Foundation, and I didn't realize until yesterday that on Salcedo's show on Newsmax, you and Michael Reagan did a thing together. You guys had like a segment.
So let's clarify that thing. We did Mondays with Mike and Mary on Chris Salcedo's show. So we had a hit every Monday on Chris Salcedo's show together for at least 2 years now, at least. And so even though I had never met Michael in person, he just kind of became my buddy. You know, and we would text each other, and it was odd. I texted him for Christmas, and I sent him a picture. I was sitting in the balcony of the church, and I sent, you know, a really beautiful picture of the altar and everything. And I sent him a picture, and I wished him Merry Christmas, and he responded. And then I wished him Happy New Year, and he didn't respond. And I thought, okay, well, I thought maybe. And then when he wasn't on the air on Monday, nobody knew why he wasn't on the air. I just said, okay, so Tony Kennett was on. And that happens sometimes, like he's on vacation, he's doing this, he's doing that. And so I was going to text him. I thought, nah, I'm just going to let it go. He's probably extending his holiday. Well, I had no idea. I was getting ready to go on Newsmax yesterday. And I'm with you, getting ready to go on with you. And I got a text from someone not affiliated with Newsmax. It's like, you know, said, oh my gosh, my great. I'm like, what? And they told me, and then I'm texting people at Newsmax who had no idea. And so I'm texting like, hey, I just heard this. And then I saw the picture of, you know, the comment from the family. So I texted it to everybody. And then I was on with you. So I think we were all just shocked. I had no idea he was ill. I had no clue.
Yeah. He is. That's going to be a loss for the movement. Just such a decent human being. And we need more of that these days on the conservative side. I can tell you that.
You know, can I just say, he loved, I mean, I smile because he's with his parents and he's talking about his mom and dad all the time. He loved his parents so, so much. And he just loves his family so much. That's going to be a huge loss for them. But part of me smiles because he's with his mom and dad again, and he just talks about them all the time. So that part of me made me smile, and I'm like, okay, you know, it was time. I think I was just shocked. But the only thing I can say is I was shocked, and you're right. It's a big hole. It's a really big hole that's going to be left in the movement.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mary Walter, always good hearing from you, and we will either see you on the radio or see you on Newsmax.
I'll be waving both times.
Thanks, Mary. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. Time for a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. Brandon Gill from Texas. That's Dinesh D'Souza's son-in-law, by the way. He's grilling these Democrats on the Somali fraud. Cut number eight, please.
In Minnesota are on food stamps?
No.
54%. Do you know what that number is for native Minnesota-headed households?
Well, to be clear, a majority of the...
It's 7%. There's a big difference between 54% and 7%, is there not?
Excuse me, sir. Could I answer the question?
Let me move on. We've got a lot of questions here. What percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on Medicaid?
I don't know.
It's 73%. Do you know what that number is for Minnesota native households?
Again, you're using the phrase Minnesota native households, but the majority...
The number is 18%. That's quite an astounding difference, I think we would
agree. Can I answer the question, please?
Let me ask you one more, and then we can go on to that. What percentage of Somali-headed households are on welfare in general?
I don't know.
It's 81%. What about... let me just ask you, after 10 years of being in the United States, what percentage of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare?
I don't know.
The number is 78%. So even after 10 years, 78% of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare.
So facts matter. And I'm glad that Brandon Gill is in a very methodical way. There's nothing nefarious about what he did. He's just laying out the facts. And the facts are that we are not bringing in the best and the brightest to this country. We are bringing in people who are immediately going on government-funded, taxpayer-funded welfare. And that's a big problem, a really big problem. And we've got to get that fixed. We've got to get it nipped in the bud. By the way, some breaking news here. This is exciting. The Secretary of War now dispatching 20 military attorneys and prosecutors to Memphis to help deal with all of the people that are getting arrested and taken off the streets. I would encourage you to take a long, hard look at what's happening in Memphis right now, because this is a massive success story for the Trump administration. They are crushing it, just doing an incredible job and restoring civility to the city. That's what needs to happen in Charlotte, and that's what needs to happen in Minneapolis. We're going to pay attention tonight. Be sure to listen to your local radio for updates, any sort of breaking news alerts from Washington or also from Minneapolis as this mob continues to grow. We will see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. Also, ToddStearns.com. Check out our page for all sorts of news and information. And I will see you right here tomorrow, noon o'clock, right here on the radio. Be good, everybody.